Good evening, everybody. I'm excited to be here tonight and this weekend. Really enjoyed the last time we were here and look forward to coming back and spending some more time with you. And so we're excited to be here. All of the lessons that we're going to go over this weekend are going to be dealing with discipleship. And so we are Christians. And as Christians, that means that we are disciples of Jesus. And what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Because we probably have a modern Western perspective of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. But the concept of discipleship, or what we read about in the New Testament, the discipleship that we read about in the New Testament is not born out of a modern Western perspective or culture, but it was born out of an ancient Jewish culture. And so as we look at our lessons this week and we think about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, I want to try to look at this from a Jewish perspective. What did it mean to be a disciple in the first century in Israel when the Jews were following a rabbi? You know, Jesus called his disciples and they became apostles. But what was on their mind? What did it mean to them to be a disciple of a great teacher like Jesus? So our lesson tonight is, where do you get your authority? Where do you get your authority? Jesus is the greatest teacher who ever lived. And I think we would all agree with that statement. But do we really understand the significance of that? Jesus is the greatest teacher who ever lived. Knowing that should totally transform every aspect of our lives. It should transform how we read the scriptures. It should transform how we study the words of Jesus. It should transform how we follow Jesus and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a great teacher, but in fact, he is the greatest teacher who has ever lived. So how did Jesus teach? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and let's read verses 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 5, verse 21 says, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder,' and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said." And then he quotes what was said. In this case, Jesus says, "You shall not murder." Where does that come from? Who said you shall not murder? Well, I believe that Jesus is quoting the law of Moses and perhaps even the Ten Commandments. God said, "You shall not murder." These are the words of God. This comes from the law of Moses. Jesus is quoting the law of Moses, and it was God who gave that law to Moses. We call it the law of Moses. That's kind of a misnomer, because it's not really Moses' law. It's God's law. Moses was just the man who received it and then presented it to the people. He was the mediator who delivered it to the people. But it really is the law of God. But Jesus is quoting the law of Moses. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not murder.'" And then he says, "But I say to you," and then he teaches something that goes beyond the law of Moses? Really? Jesus is going to teach something that goes beyond the law of Moses? And so I can imagine the scribes and the Pharisees are very uncomfortable with the way that Jesus is teaching. The law of Moses says this, "But I say to you," and then he says something that goes beyond the law of Moses, and what Jesus says is actually harder to keep than what was said. Because what was said was, "Do not commit murder." But what Jesus says is, don't even be angry at your brother. And so it's one thing to commit murder, but it's something else entirely to not be angry with your brother. And so I can see the scribes and the Pharisees are very uncomfortable with the way Jesus is teaching. Who do you think you are to teach things that go beyond the boundaries of the law of Moses? Now, I believe that Jesus was teaching the spirit of the law, you know, because the Jews were very good at keeping the letter of the law, all the while violating the spirit of the law. And Jesus is saying that you need to understand the spirit of the law as well. But Jesus is teaching with an authority that went beyond even the law of Moses. And can you imagine someone doing that today? Can you imagine someone coming into the church building and having the opportunity to speak and saying, the Bible says this, but I say to you, and then going beyond what the scriptures say and speaking with authority as if you need to obey the things that I'm saying right now. We would not be comfortable with that. But that's similar to the way that Jesus is teaching at this point in time. So I can imagine the scribes and the Pharisees wondering, who do you think you are, Jesus, to teach in the way that you are teaching? But take a look at verse 20, Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Verse 20 says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now the scribes and the Pharisees are certainly not pleased with what Jesus is saying. The scribes and the Pharisees were experts in the law. They had studied the law all of their lives. In fact, they had memorized the Tanakh, which is what we would call the Old Testament scriptures. Like, they had dedicated their lives to memorizing the scriptures. They would have memorized from Genesis all the way up to Malachi. They memorized the scriptures. They knew it by heart. They were experts in the law. They could teach the law. And yet, they were also experts in keeping the letter of the law, even though their hearts were far from God. They did not understand the spirit of the law, and Jesus is drawing their attention to the spirit of the law. And so they're wondering, who are you, Jesus? And where do you get the authority to teach the way that you teach? And that's actually a very good question. So turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and read verses 15 through 19. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From your countrymen, you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen, like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. God is going to raise up a prophet like Moses. And Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus is a prophet like Moses. But in what sense is Jesus a prophet like Moses? Because Jesus is greater than Moses. It's not like Moses and Jesus are on equal playing field here. Jesus is superior to Moses. So in what sense is Jesus a prophet like Moses? Well, Moses was the giver of the law. It was God's law, but it was delivered to the people through Moses. And so like Moses, Jesus is a prophet, and he is a giver of the law. Now, Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses, and Jesus established a new law, or we might call it a new covenant. that has been established through Jesus. And the words of Jesus are the very words of God himself. It is God speaking through Jesus. Now, of course, Jesus is Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Jesus is God in the flesh. And so when Jesus speaks, he's speaking the words of God because he is God with us. But Jesus is speaking the words of God, and the Father says, those who do not listen to the words of Jesus will have to answer to me. I'm gonna hold them accountable for how they respond to the words of Jesus. And so on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father speaks with an audible voice. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. We must listen to the words of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the scriptures say, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. So God speaks to us today, but he speaks to us through Jesus. And so how did people respond to the teachings of Jesus? So let's go back to Matthew, the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Jesus taught with an authority that was greater than the authority that the scribes had when they taught. So Jesus was superior to the scribes, and this was mind-blowing to the Jews. They had never seen someone who had an authority that was greater than the authority of the scribes, because the scribes were, as has already been said, experts in the scriptures. They were experts in the law. They had studied the law all their lives. They had memorized from Genesis through Malachi. They had it. They knew it by heart. And they were expert teachers of the law. They could teach the law, and they can instruct you in the law, and they knew how to apply the law to your lives. And they could guide you. They were spiritual leaders amongst the people. They were very impressive men. And yet Jesus comes and he has an authority that is greater than the authority of the scribes. And they were amazed at Jesus. So take a look at Matthew chapter 21. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21 and we'll look at verse 23. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. It says, when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? This is a very good question. It's a valid question. Jesus is teaching things with an authority that surpasses the authority of the scribes. Where do you get your authority to speak like this? Where do you get your authority to teach things that go beyond the law of Moses? And to speak as if we need to obey your commandments and follow your teachings? Like, who do you think you are? A person is not free to teach whatever they want to teach. And a person is not free to do whatever they want to do. But a person must have authority for what they say, and a person must have authority for what they do. And so they're asking Jesus, where do you get your authority? Now, there's a Hebrew word that I want us to think about for a moment tonight. That Hebrew word is shmicha. Shmicha. That word means authority. Shmicha. But it's not just authority. It's a certain type of authority, okay? Shmicha is the highest level of authority that a human being could ever attain. And it's spiritual authority. It's religious authority. It's a godlike authority, okay? Shmicha. And traditionally, the idea is that very few rabbis would ever receive Shmicha authority, if any. But it could only be given when a rabbi had demonstrated his superior knowledge of the scriptures and his ability to teach the word of God and his ability to apply the word of God in real life situations and lead people spiritually. And it was something that was extraordinary because the scribes were extraordinary men. Their knowledge of the word and the time and energy they put into studying the scriptures and teaching the scriptures is mind-blowing to us today. They were extraordinary. But when one was even more extraordinary than the extraordinary men who were teaching the word of God, it was noticed. And so two rabbis would have to publicly proclaim that this man, he has the authority to teach the scriptures and to apply the scriptures to our lives. And we need to listen to what he has to say. So two rabbis would publicly proclaim that this man has, we're giving him shmicha. That is this certain level of authority. And Jesus is teaching as if he has shmicha. Jesus is teaching like the greatest of all teachers. Okay, and so they're asking him, who are you? Or who do you think you are to teach the way that you teach? Where did you get your authority? Who gave you this authority? And these are all valid questions. So take a look at Matthew chapter 21, verses 24 through 27. Verse 24 says, Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet. And answering Jesus, they said, we do not know. And he also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. And it sounds as if Jesus did not answer their question. Where do you get your authority? And Jesus says, I'm not going to tell you. Like, I'm going to take my ball and go home. If you don't want to play with me, I'm not going to play with you. And so he just walks away and he doesn't answer the question. And I'm very disappointed in that because I want Jesus to answer the question. I want him to say very clearly, this is where I get my authority. Do you know who I am? I mean, you're asking me, who do you think you are? Who am I? That's a great question. I want Jesus to tell us who he is. And I want these scribes to and the chief priests, I want them to be put in their place. And I want to see it right here in the scriptures. But it appears as if Jesus does not answer their question at all. But there is something that we need to understand about Jewish culture. And that is that the greatest rabbis were experts at asking questions, especially when they were asked a question. Someone would ask them a question and they would answer the question with a question of their own. The greatest teachers will teach by asking questions. And I've come to realize that the person who asks the questions can direct the course of the conversation. And so when Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door or when these Mormon elders knock on my door, I might invite them in and sit down at the table and let them teach me. But how are they going to teach me? They're going to teach me by answering the questions I'm asking. I'm going to ask them questions, and my questions are going to lead them to passages and conclusions that I want them to come to understand. And I'm going to act like they're teaching me, but I'm trying to guide the conversation by the questions that I'm asking and leading them to the passages and conclusions that I want them to see in the process. But this is something that the Jews were experts at doing. They were great at answering questions with questions. It might be if you were in a math class that your teacher might say something like, what is 3 times 4? And of course, we know that the answer is 12. 3 times 4 is 12. 12 is the only correct answer. If you say anything other than 12, it's wrong. You know, 3 times 4 is 12. That's the way we think. That's not the way the Jews thought. Okay, if they were in a math class and the teacher said, what is 3 times 4? Someone might answer that question by saying, what is 24 divided by 2? And the teacher would say, yes, that is correct. And someone else might say, well, what is the square root of 144? And the teacher would say, yes, that is correct. And someone else might say, how many eggs do I buy when I go to the grocery store? And the teacher would say, yes, that is correct. The one who answers a question with the question is not just providing the answer to the person, but helping the person discover the answer on their own. You know, maybe you've heard the phrase, give a man a fish and he eats for a day, teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. And when you answer a question with a question that helps a person discover the answer for themselves, it's like teaching them how to study the scriptures and come up with these answers on their own. And so Jesus is the answer man. Or maybe we should say Jesus is the question man. He always had the perfect question in response to the questions that were asked to him. So for example, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 and look at verses 46 and 47. Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. This is when Jesus is 12 years old. He's gone to the Passover and his parents they're in a big caravan of people and they're on their way home, and then they realize after they've gone a day's journey that Jesus is not with them and they don't know where he is and he's lost, but he's not lost. He's in the temple and this is what he's doing. Luke 2 verses 46 and 47. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, when I used to read this passage thinking Jesus is 12 years old and he's a very precocious kid. He's interested in the Word of God more than most 12-year-old kids would be. So much so that how is he spending his time? He's spending his time asking the priests and the rabbis and the scholars. He's asking them questions, all these deep questions that he wants answers to, and that they were answering his questions. But I've come to realize that that might not be the case at all. It's not that Jesus is asking them questions because he wants their answers, but maybe Jesus is asking them questions because he's teaching them. He's the teacher here. He's 12 years old, and yet he was so wise and knowledgeable of the Word of God that he's instructing the instructors by the questions that he was asking. So take a look at verse 40. Well, verse 46 says, he's in the temple in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And verse 47 says, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. The passage does not say that he was answering questions. He was asking them questions, and they were amazed at his answers. And I think maybe his answers were questions. Like they were asking him questions, and he was asking questions back, and his questions were guiding them to the passages and scriptures that they needed to see and understand. And they were amazed at the knowledge of this kid. And so Jesus is instructing the instructors in the Word of God. So this is what Jesus is doing when he's 12 years old. What is Jesus doing in Matthew chapter 21? So let's go back to Matthew chapter 21. And let's read verse 23. Verse 23 says, when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? And then skip down to verse 27. Verse 27 says, and answering, Jesus said, we do not know. And answering Jesus, they said, we do not know. He also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. And it sounds as if Jesus did not answer their question. Where do you get your authority? Jesus says, I'm not going to tell you. It would just be a waste of my time to tell you, because you've already seen all the evidence. You have enough facts to know who I am. And if you don't know who I am by now, there's not any more evidence that I can give you that will convince you. Okay, so I'm not going to waste my time. I'm just going to leave. And so Jesus does not answer their question. And if that's the case, I am disappointed, because I want Jesus to answer their question. But what if Jesus did answer their question? What if the question that Jesus asked them was the answer to their question? Where do you get your authority? So take a look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, the baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men? And that's the answer to the question. Where do you get your authority? And basically what Jesus is saying is, I get my authority when I was baptized by John. You know about John, how he was baptizing people. And you know what happened when I was baptized. People knew this. Like, they knew what Jesus was getting at. They knew what Jesus was talking about. Okay? Jesus received his shmicha. Jesus received his authority at his baptism from a certain perspective. What two rabbis publicly proclaimed that Jesus had this kind of authority? Well, I would say that John the Baptizer himself was the first one to proclaim that Jesus had this kind of authority. In John chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is of a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And in verse 34, he said, I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. John said, Jesus has greater authority than me. He is higher than me. He was before me. He is the Son of God. And then God the Father spoke on behalf of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, God the Father spoke with an audible voice from heaven, and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then at Jesus' transfiguration, God the Father spoke from heaven in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. It was God the Father who said to the world, this is the prophet like Moses. This is my Son. He has authority to teach my words. The words that Jesus speaks are the very words of God himself. And people knew this to be true because they were either there and heard it happen. They were eyewitnesses or ear witnesses of what God said about Jesus, or word of it spread and people were talking about Jesus. And there was enough evidence for them to realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we are disciples of Jesus. We are disciples of the greatest teacher who has ever lived. In fact, we are disciples of the only man who ever received his authority directly from God the Father himself, with an audible voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Nobody has the authority that Jesus has. No one is able to teach the way Jesus taught, because he is unique in his authority as God with us. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority belongs to Jesus. And where does Jesus possess all authority? In heaven and on earth. Where can you go to get out from under the authority of Jesus? Nowhere. Like, there's nowhere that you can go where Jesus' authority does not govern your life. And that's a good thing, because it is only through Jesus that we can be forgiven of our sins. And it is only through Jesus that we can be reconciled to God. And it is only through Jesus that we can have salvation and eternal life. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we'll read verses 47 to 50. John chapter 12, verses 47 to 50. It says, "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." The words of Jesus have authority because they are the very words of God. And they are words that lead us to eternal life. We must listen to him. And that means we must internalize his teachings and put them into practice in our daily lives. You know, what Jesus said actually in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19 is this: "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so a disciple of Jesus is someone who has been baptized, but it is also someone who has been taught to observe all the commandments. We need to follow his teachings and obey his commandments and put his words into practice in our lives if we are going to be disciples of Jesus. So we must cultivate a hunger for the word of God. We must cultivate a passion for studying the teachings of Jesus and for putting them into practice in our lives. We are going to offer an invitation at this time, and if there is someone here who would like to respond to the message by dedicating themselves to being a disciple of Jesus, studying his words and putting them into practice, we would love to help you accomplish that and work with you on that. If you would like to respond, we're going to stand at this time. We're going to sing an invitation song. And how do you do it here? Do they come forward? Or? Yeah, okay. Come on down if you would like to respond to this message. Thank you very much.